Welcome to the C3 Church Watson podcast. Our vision is to connect you to Jesus, grow you as a disciple, and help you serve his purpose. We hope you are blessed by this week's message.
Good morning, church. Yeah, you'd think I'd know how to work these by now, but no. So, we give to Vision Builders for two reasons. Firstly, we give because we want everyone to be as blessed as we have been blessed in this church. We've experienced breakthrough and healing and encouragement and spiritual growth and freedom, all as a result of God working through the ministries of this church. And we want that and more for every single person who steps into this building.
Good stuff, right? Our other reason is about obedience. So when we look at our testimony over the past few years as a married couple, it looks a lot like us checking our bank accounts and being like, okay, what can we give in our human strength? And then God asking, do you trust me? And we agree. We're like, yes, God, we trust you, but sometimes a bit nervous. Don't know if you guys have been there. And then God supernaturally making a way for us to obey him. Time and time again, God has provided to us through unexpected income, through favor with either our study or our medical costs, and things falling into place in his perfect timing.
So Isaiah 55:9, where the Lord says, "For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And as we give to Vision Builders, our vision becomes more like his.
Wonderful. Thank you, guys. Okay, I don't need to preach anymore. It's all been said. Thank you, musos. Thank you for Cowboy. The cowboy hat appeared. We had the beanie last week. Now we've got the cowboy hat. I think we should be moving into country music. Hey, I'd like to give a warm C3 welcome to some visitors from Coffs Harbour today, Pastor Michael and Rebecca Neal, who are sitting with us here. We've told them they can't talk to anyone in our church because we don't want anyone thinking that Coffs Harbour is a destination worth considering. That's actually Rebecca's father married Melanie and I. Way back in 19... just a couple of years ago. So, if you build God's house, he will build your house. There's a word for you. If you build God's house, he'll build your house. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. After David was settled in his palace, he'd built his house. He said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a house of cedar while the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is under a tent from boating, camping, fishing." Nathan the prophet replied to David, "Whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you." But that night the word of God came to Nathan saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. I took you from being in the pasture, from tending the sheep, flocks, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone, and I've cut off all your enemies before you. Now I will make your name like all the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore. I will also subdue all your enemies. I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your own offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom." He's talking about Jesus here. He's the one who will build a house for me. And that's what Jesus is doing right now. He's building a house for God. "And I will establish his throne forever. I will never take away my love from him as I took it away from your predecessor." So, this is an amazing thing that David says, "I am going to build a house for God." And just the motivation, he's seen how generous God has been to him. And out of his generosity, he said, "I'm going to build this awesome thing for God." And then God says to him, "Well, actually, I'm going to build your house. Because you can never outgive God. Just when we think we're giving to God, he outgives us. Just when we say, I'm going to do this for you, God says, well, I'm going to do 10 times this for you. And it's a principle that appears right throughout the Bible. It's an amazing thing. It's like the ultimate you scratch my back and I scratch your back deal. Is that we can never outgive God. And as we step out of the boat, he carries us. As we forgive, he forgives us. The heart of God, the economy of God. The economy of God is different to the world economy. We are dealing with the world economy. But God has his own economy. And it's a giving economy. Because he's the greatest giver ever. And he wants us to be like him. God so loved that he gave. And as we love, we find ourselves giving more. But we still can't outgive God. But it's an amazing principle through the Bible that when we give to God, he gives more. And that we can initiate a move of God by our own behavior. Jesus says this over and over. He says, you ask and I'll make sure you find. But you've got to ask. You seek and you will find. You knock and the door will be opened. But you've got to knock. He never sort of tried to grab people by the throat and say, hey, you've got to follow me. You've got to listen to what I'm about to say because it's very important for you. He just tossed it out there. Well, if there's anyone listening, I hope you can hear me. Because in some incredible way, we can initiate God's move if we are wanting it. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But you've got to want to draw near to God. Seek first God's kingdom and God will add everything else of value to you. But you've got to seek God's kingdom. You can't sit back and say, well, I'm just waiting for God to do something. He likes people taking the initiative. You give your tithes and then God will pour out so much blessing on you that you won't have enough room to fill it. I'm just waiting for God to bless me. Well, are you paying your tithes? If you give, you will receive in good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. But you've got to give. And we just heard from two lovely people who give and have been giving. We look back to roll back the years to, okay, I'm just going to say it, 1986, okay? Big deal. It's a long time ago. Put your hand up if you weren't born then. Yeah, that's a few of you. Put your hand down, William. In 1986, we lived in our first house. It cost us $69,000. Actually, it might have been $67,950 or something like that. It was a fortune. How could we afford this? We knew people who were spending $70,000 or $80,000 on a house. And I think when and it was a huge house. You could stand in the middle and just about touch all the walls. And we had one lounge, which was donated to us by Penny Wells. Is she here today? Next service, okay, because she's sleeping in. And that lounge suite forced you to sit upright, and there was barely enough room for both of us, let alone any visitors. So we'd sit on the floor. It's the sort of house the Brambles moved into, same sort of deal, except they had little flower pots on the windowsill. That's about the only difference. But little did we know that God was going to build our house. And whatever your beginnings are, however humble they are, however humble, how small that start is, God says, I'm going to build your house. Why? Because because he loved me, I will deliver him, Bible says. I will set him securely on high because he knows my name. Why will he set you securely on high? Because you know him. Why will he deliver you? Because you love him. It's the same principle again. And we don't see how God initiates things. He does that as well. But I'm just saying that there's a principle that if we kickstart things, God will keep the ball rolling. And the opposite is also true. Except the Lord builds a house, the laborers will be building in vain. What sort of house do you want God to build for you? Well, obviously, we want to have bricks and mortar. We need accommodation. But that's just a superficial level of what our house is. And what God promises to David here is not just a building. He promises protection from all his enemies. He promises provision. He promises a legacy to leave behind for generations. And what God does when he builds our house, he provides the $69,000 house, but he starts to build something called life inside the house. And he builds that as well. Because what's happening inside the bricks and mortar is at least as important as the bricks and mortar. In fact, if all we're doing is focusing on the bricks and mortar, we're just creating a shell. But what we want inside that is love. We want who we are, what our character is, what the culture of our house is, our identity, our community, our family, our relationships, all that life. God promises to build your house. And as we build his house, he builds our house. What is his house? Well, it's bricks and mortar, and we give to that. But God is also wanting us to build the life inside his church, inside the bricks and mortar. And so we focus on loving other people. Every now and again, and this doesn't happen very often, but just once a year, let's say, someone will say, oh, you're the first person to speak to me in your church. And it kind of riles us, you know, because we think, well, everybody should be finding a stranger first to build the culture of the house. Yeah, good call. So that you can say, as you go out of the foyer here, you can say, well, here's someone I don't know. And here's my good old buddies that I see every week. Who am I going to speak to? Well, I'm going to build the house. So I speak to this person first. And you'll be blessed doing that. There's so many times when we've spoken to strangers in the church and it's opened up not just a whole new relationship and friendship, but it's opened up a whole new lots of opportunities. Oh, this person's a builder. Oh, this person is a mechanic. At last, I found a Christian mechanic. Because we're wanting to build God's house. We want to encourage people, wanting to join a team, wanting to do things. And as we give, we find that God builds our house. So over the years, between 86 and now, God has provided opportunities, open doors. Just the way we got our current house was a miracle. There's a whole lot of people bidding on it we didn't even know. Melanie happened to drive past and said, I think we're interested in this house. And I said, okay, we're interested in this house. And we went and had a look. We thought, yes, this is a good house. Though everyone was bidding at this price. And the real estate agent said to us, the owner wants this much. And they're happy with the first offer at that amount. And so what did we do? We made the first offer at that amount. The owner accepted our offer and three other people, including one family that left my school, were disappointed that they didn't get it. That family said to us, you got our house, and left the school. That was exciting. Maybe I could have asked them, well, are you building God's house? Because that's my focus. That's our focus. We've always made a decision. We're going to build God's house. We're going to make our decisions about future location and direction and purpose based on what does God want us to do? And when you ask that question, what does God want us to do? Suddenly, vistas open and doorways open. And God says, great question. If you do this, if you seek after me with all your heart, if you seek my kingdom first, then all those other things that everyone else seeks will be given to you. What an amazing promise. And so we've given financially to a number of churches along on our journey, but we've also built into houses of God. We've been there. You need someone on the door, we're there. You need someone on the music team, we're there. Melanie led the worship at our one of our first churches for 10 years or something. And suddenly the little 10-square box in Tuggeranong turns into a whole life with love inside it. Jesus' house needs building, and that's what he's focusing on right now. He said, I will build my church. I'll build it. Is there anyone else there who wants to help me? His church is any meeting where the name of Jesus is lifted up. He said that I will build my church based on the rock principle of what Peter had said. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Any place that preaches Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, is his church. And he's building that. If we turn to him and say, yes, Lord, use me, then he turns to us and there's this divine exchange. We say, God, I'll give you everything, which seems so much to us. But then God says to us, that's so beautiful. Then I give you everything. And his everything is a lot more. It's a good deal. So we partner with him. 1 Peter 2:5. Sorry, whoever's on the scriptures, because I've just been jumping all over the place. But 1 Peter 2:5 should be on the list. There it is. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Or the main thing is that first sentence. You are living stones that God is building into a holy temple. Every person who comes in the door is a piece of Lego. Now, you might be an 8-dot piece like my wife, or you might be a 6-dot piece like Paul Curtis, Trevor. You might be a 2-dot piece like, I'm not going to point to anyone, or a 1-dot piece like myself. So humble. But either way, you're being built into a wall here. That's what God wants. As soon as you come into a church, he says, great, now, I want you, once you get the nod, and he says, yeah, this is your church, and you say, right, we're in. And he says, great, well, I need you over here. I've never thought of that, Lord, but I'll go over here. And as we do that, he says, great, you're building my house, I'm going to build your house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You can pray, you can build the house by joining teams, as I said, just by praying for the church. You can build God's house by inviting your friends and family and co-workers to church. You can build God's house by giving your time and your skills. You can build God's house by giving financially, as we are doing. So this year we're expanding the vision building by creating a special dedicated space for the kids' church and moving that meeting room upstairs and expanding up there, so there'll be a big meeting area up there as well as some more offices. But the kids' church is a place where people who have kids can come because they know that their kids will be looked after, and there are an awful lot of people who are looking for a church where their kids are being looked after. And so we want to expand that. And we've had a lot of ideas from the kids' church leaders. Here are some of the ideas. First of all, the trestle table covered by a tablecloth we would like to see replaced by something that matches the rest of the foyer. So a kids' church sign-on table, and I believe there is an image for this which by faith will appear. There it is. It's actually a photoshopped plant bed. And you notice it is on rollers so that we can decide where to put it on the day. The rollers have been photoshopped in as well by a professional. Here's some more ideas. We want it to look excellent, right? But, of course, you know, in saying this, we don't just want to build a shell. It's what happens inside. And so the most powerful thing you can do to help build the kids' church is to join the team. You don't need to be teaching kids. We desperately need someone who just says, I'd like to be on the sitting on the stool welcoming people as they come. Because every week, nearly every week, we have trouble finding enough people to serve so that we have one person who can do that. But you know, how powerful is it for parents to meet someone with a smiling face who says welcome? And that would build God's church. But here's some other ideas as well. More display boards, more things made of wood, because wood is very welcoming. Wooden chairs, wooden shelves, wooden tables. More lockable storage, more colourful carpet that has some game boundaries built in and some squares that are built in. Because it's very useful to be able to say to kids, right, we need three kids on this area here and four kids over there, or your team has to sit over here. And so some new carpet's going to do that. A mini stage, some murals on the walls, some scripture verses as decals, you know, those where you can get words stuck onto the walls. Some more plants, comfortable sitting area. And we'd like to have, this may not be it, although I'd love to do this, we'd love to have an entrance to the kids' church that captures everyone's imagination. So the first picture is of the door shut. Do you recognise the wardrobe? We've actually bought that from an old mansion in England. And it's being shipped over. And then when you open it up, you have... Now, there is a way to do this. There is a way to do it. William, I think you can do it. That's great. Now, the kids will go to kids' church, come back in 200 years. So you won't have to worry about them anymore. Your kids are being looked after by Aslan. So we hope that that you will say, yeah, we need to do this for the sake of the kids and their parents. And that's the goal of our Vision Builders this year. That's our focus this year. And last week, Melanie shared how we paid off our mortgage for the church. So we're ready to take an extra step. And this is fantastic, isn't it? And this, we really believe that there's going to be some exciting things come of this. So let's do that. But first of all, I want to invite anybody here who needs to be right with God. Now, this can be someone who has already made a decision to be right with God in the past, but you've drifted away. Or it could be someone here today who has never made that decision. How do you get right with God? Well, the first thing is that you turn to Him. All the warts and all. Not trying to hide anything from Him. Not trying to pretend that you're a really super good person, but knowing that He knows, that you know that He knows everything about you. I still do this today. Turn to God. God, you know me. Just like that song says, we might just have a hallelujah in our heart and just say, you deserve the praise. You deserve the glory. So let's shut our eyes, everybody here today. And I invite you to consider making yourself right with God again. Dear God, let us be open to Him. Thank you, Lord. And if that's you today, I would like you to say this prayer after us, after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you know me and yet you love me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, to pay for all my sin and to draw me to yourself. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I want to live for you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope to see you in church again this weekend. find out more about our church, find us online at c3churchwatson.com.